scores! Gilmore scores!
Off the glass in left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yale. A shot saved, made by Al. Aguila. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon.
All right, it is a Thursday. It's May 22nd. We're underway this hour on Flames Talk. From our Groundworks downtown studio, it's Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, Logo.
Hello, Pat.
How are we doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Lots to get to
today
on this hour on the program. Thank you. Appreciate that. Wore my best black shirt just for you.
It's very slimming.
We're hanging out here in our Groundworks downtown studio as the World Championship continues in Sweden. And captained by Flames defenseman Rasmus Andersson, Team Sweden is off to the semifinals. Rasmus with an assist as Sweden on home ice in front of a sold-out crowd at Avicii Arena beats Czechia 5-2 on Tuesday. So Captain Rasmus Andersson and Michael Backlund are off to the semifinal round. They'll play Saturday against Team USA in Sweden once again. And the other big story is Canada out in the quarterfinals and a 2-1 loss to Denmark. What did the shots end up being in that game? They were like 34-8 after 40 minutes of play or something like that. But Sweden scores twice, including Nikolaj Ehlers tying it in the final 2.5 minutes before they go on to beat Canada 2-1 and oust Canada from the tournament.
Mixed bag in Winnipeg, hey? Like, oh, yeah, Nick Ehlers. Oh.
But he beat Canada.
Yeah. I guess he's leaving, so it doesn't really matter.
Maybe. Are you 100% convinced
kind of feels Ehlers that way.
Is, it does. Yeah. There's enough talk out there about teams, you know, whether it's Vegas or Toronto or other teams that might go after a guy like Ehlers. We'll see. But back to Rasmus Andersson. We all know he's the biggest story of the summer for the Flames. Will he or won't he be back next year with 1 year left on his contract? And we all get what's up. We've talked enough about Rasmus Andersson. I don't need to reset the story and play Sherlock Holmes for you on what the story is. We talked a lot about the merits of signing him to an extension and what that contract should or could look like. We've weighed that against the potential return they can get, in a trade. And my big question this hour is this, because we're going to hear from Rasmus in just a second, but what do the Flames lose if Andersson is no longer here? Text lines open if you're listening live on Sportsnet 960 The Fan at 960-960. If the Flames do end up moving on from Rasmus Andersson over the next number of months, and he is not a member of the team next year, or they deal him at some point in season, what will they then be missing without him on the roster? Do they get better in the immediacy? Do they get worse in the immediacy? Do they get better long-term, or do they get worse long-term? Curious as to your thoughts at 960-960. We'll flesh it out in just a few minutes, but Rasmus Andersson captaining Sweden at the World Championship in his home country. First ever appearance at the World Championship for Rasmus Andersson. He spoke with our Aaron Vickers in Stockholm a little earlier this week. This was prior to Sweden beating Czechia in the quarterfinals.
What does it mean to be captain of Team Sweden and doing so in your first World Championship?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I was a little shocked when I, you know, found out. And, but we went to that pre-tournament, right? And I was captain there and we won, you know, a few games. And me and the coach had a few conversations, He obviously told me that he can't tell me right now because we still don't know who's coming and all of that stuff. So, but, you know, it's with obviously a lot of pride and a lot of responsibility, especially at being on home ice. And but it's, I mean, I think the people that knows me knows that I'm, you know, a vocal guy, loud and loves to talk and that kind of stuff. So I'm just trying to be myself, and you know, it's obviously helped that wearing a letter last two seasons in Calgary too. That's kind of, you know, prepared you in the way for this, and then, you know, having Bax by my side and Mika has been really helpful. You know, Johansson has been a big help for me too. You know, the older guys have really helped me in a big way. So for me, it's just been be myself and not change too much.
How did you find out?
He told me actually right here before our first meeting, and you know, my first reaction, I told him, I was like, let me just, you know, talk to Bax and Marky about it and talk to them, and you know, they obviously supported me right away. So and then I kind of told them, you know, let's go, let's do this, and then, you know, it became official I think 2 days later, and you know, obviously told my family and that kind of stuff. But so yeah, as I said, a little bit shocked, and but the pre-tournament helped a lot, that, you know, you were captain in that, so you kind of knew what you had in store.
How are you better for this experience, both the captaincy, the off-ice stuff, and actually
I think just kind of, you know, I think obviously my last, whatever, 15 games in Calgary playing with that injury I played with, I was just caught in, like, survival mode. And, you know, and then it was so weird because I had such a good start, and then I had 20 tough games statistically, but I still feel like maybe 10 of those games I played pretty well. But even when I played well, it just statistically was just a nightmare. And then, you know, I finally came back, you know, to producing and playing better and better, and then the injury happens, and then you were just in survival mode for the last, whatever, 12 games, and it was tough, you know. It was tough playing with that. So, like, to come back, my ankle feels better and better, and then just play with the puck again and, like, just try to make plays, hang on to it, and, you know, especially, like, in the end there, it was like I was a robot in the system because I had to battle each and every night to just survive, it felt like. So for me, like, just mentally being here and being surrounded with, you know, a lot of players I grew up playing with or looked up to, or, you know, that kind of stuff. So just mentally, it's helped me a lot.
Is Ben used to you in yellow yet?
No, he, you know, I came home with this shirt once, and he's like, where's mine? And I'm like, sorry, but I don't have one for you. And so I ordered a couple jerseys for him and my daughter. So so hopefully they'll arrive here soon.
You touched on Calgary. What worked so well for the Calgary fans? Understanding you didn't get to where you wanted to go, but you sure shut up a lot of people.
Yeah. I think the team came together in a really, really good way. And I think we all love being at the rink every single day. And we really enjoyed the grind together. And, like, you know, like, the West schedule is always a mess. And you travel and you're gone a long time from your families and all that kind of stuff. But I think we did a really good job at, you know, keeping it loose when we needed to be loose. And, you know, dial it in when we needed to be dialed in. And if you look back at the season, I mean, there's maybe two nights out of 82 we didn't show up. Like, the one is Tampa at home. We were awful. But, like, other than that, I can't really find any other games where we didn't show up. A team, sure, we lost, but we still showed up. We still battled. And, you know, it's funny when you talk to a few of the guys in here, they're like, oh, you guys were so painful to play against this year, like, because our work ethic. And as I said, like, I thought the group came, it's probably one of the best groups I've been around this year. And, you know, we all love being at the rink together. And so for that, I mean, I think it was really important that how close their room was.
That is Rasmus Andersson in conversation with Aaron Vickers a little earlier this week. He's captaining Team Sweden, and earlier on this Thursday, he, with an assist, captained Team Sweden to a 5-2 win over Czechia to advance to the semifinals at the World Championship. So I asked the question before we played that interview, you know, what are the Flames losing if they don't have Rasmus in the fold anymore? If they go through contract conversations and it's just determined in July or August that, you know, it's just, they're just too far apart. The Andersson camp is adamant that they want an 8-year deal, and the Flames don't feel like 8 years makes sense, which I think is could very well be the case. Unless you're going to get a really good cap number, I'm not sure the Flames are super interested in going 8 years. And maybe they decide that, hey, thank you for all the service, we're going to try to trade you, and good luck wherever you end up, and good luck wherever you decide to sign next summer. So let's say the Flames do trade Anderson in the next few months, Loco. What does that trade look like? Because I don't, at least the way I see it, with a 28, soon to be 29-year-old Anderson, I don't know if you're going to be seeing teams that are non-playoff teams or teams that are looking to be younger that are going to be acquired. Like you're going to be looking at teams that,
so you think like the Ducks, Sharks, Blackhawks probably doesn't fit their time.
Probably not. Like it's probably going to be a team like the Sabres maybe, because they're kind of done with being bad and they'd like to be good.
Are they?
They would like to be done with being bad and they want to be good again. But like, I don't know. It feels to me like if a team acquires Rasmus, especially for this year with his palatable cap hit, I think it's going to be a team that looks at number four as a guy that puts them over the top, a guy that makes them more of a Stanley Cup contender or puts them in a better spot to go deep in the postseason, something like that. That's the type of team that I think is going to be interested in Rasmus Anderson. And thus, I don't know, I'm not convinced that you're going to be getting a commensurate player back in return. I don't necessarily see Rasmus Anderson being in that quote-unquote hockey trade type conversation. I think that deal is going to look very similar to the Noah Hanifin trade or the Chris Tanev trade or some of the deals that we saw get made a couple seasons ago. Would you be on the same page or see it a little bit different?
I mean, it's always so hard to predict what 31 other NHL GMs are willing to put on the table. I think it's always, that being said, I think it's always easier for GMs to let other teams take the chance on prospects and draft picks, right? Let them figure out a development curve for the next 3 years while we get an asset that we know is NHL caliber right now. So I think that always comes into play. I think the Flames, if the right hockey deal came around, would be interested, but you're right. There aren't a lot of contenders that have young prospects at a decent price that they're just willing to give up in a Rasmus Anderson trade. A lot of those young team-controlled assets, those teams need because they have superstars on big deals. So that's why we so often see, I mean, I know they are both out in the first round, but look at what, you know, teams like Colorado and Tampa Bay consistently give up to add to their teams.
Yeah.
It's high picks. It's whatever kind of prospect capital they may or may not have. More often than not, that's what it's going to look like. So that's probably why I would tend to lean towards, a futures-based deal. That being said, do I think a hockey deal would be better for the Flames in the right circumstance? Probably. But that also has to fit a very specific team in a very specific window for both sides.
Well, let me paint you a picture. Like say that Aaron Ekblad and the Panthers, who may win another Stanley Cup this year, but we saw numerous players on that Panthers team walk in free agency after winning the Stanley Cup just for cap reasons. Say that the Panthers and Ekblad aren't able to come to a contract agreement and he walks in free agency and, you know, signs in Detroit or like he's a Windsor guy, signs in Toronto, something like that. Well, all of a sudden there's a right side D opening in Florida and the Panthers potentially having been to three straight Eastern Conference finals and maybe winning another Stanley Cup, maybe getting back to another cup final, who knows? But the Panthers would be like, hey, If they're interested in a guy like Rasmus Anderson, I don't think they're giving up somebody the back the other way that's going to be able to fill the same role. In fact, I know they're not going to be giving up somebody the other way. They're going to be offering younger players.
They can't just take Lundell out of their lineup and be like, here, Calgary, you have that. The teams aren't built like that.
Exactly. So I don't think that in the immediacy, the Flames are going to get better without Rasmus Anderson. And I know that number four had himself a down year this year, but he still ended up being number two on the team in average time on ice, 23 minutes and 59 seconds. He posted 31 points this year. We know he plays big penalty kill minutes, obviously part of an important pairing with Kevin Ball this year. Over the last three seasons, I went and did the aggregate. Rasmus Anderson ranks 17th in the NHL over the last three seasons combined when it comes to average time on ice at 23 minutes and 58 seconds. So he's one of the top 17 players in the world in terms of average time on ice. And here's the other thing that the Flames would be missing if Rasmus ends up getting dealt. You're not getting the same type of presence in that locker room in return. Rasmus Anderson is one of the longest tenured members of the Calgary Flames, at least one of the longest active tenured members. In fact, what, he'd be number two on the team right now behind Michael Backlund. So you're talking about a bona fide leader. A guy who is, look, we know that he's chirpy. We know that he's mouthy. We know, like, we get the Rasmus Anderson swag, but you know what else? He's also highly respected by his teammates. He is highly respected inside that room. There's a reason that Sweden decided to give him the captaincy at this year's World Championship, despite some of the other very notable names on that squad playing on home ice. So you're also losing a guy. As much as people want to see, like, there's a group that want to see the 10% as Raz talked about in his exit interview with us. Yeah, there's lots of people who believe it is the better decision to trade Rasmus Anderson, and it may be the best decision for the Flames to trade Rasmus Anderson. But I do think when having the conversation, I think it's important to point out that you are losing a guy who plays a very large role on this team on the ice, and that large on-ice role is probably the same when it comes to his off-ice role in terms of how important a leader and a presence he is inside that locker room. I've had guys tell me over the last number of years how much Rasmus has grown into being a real lead, not just lead by example, but kind of set the tone guy inside that locker room. So I do think probably for a team that finished 1 point out of the playoffs, I do think probably you're getting worse on paper if you end up dealing that guy away. And that isn't the worst thing in the world. I'd still be okay with them doing it because this is not all about next season. This is still a bigger picture plan. And if you're not going to be able to come to a contract that makes sense for the team, then dealing him is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's important to point out that if that ends up being the end game here, if that ends up being the end result, that you're probably going to take a hit in terms of what your blue line looks like, because even coming off a tough season by his standards, that's still a pretty important player for the Flames.
Yeah, I mean, Zane Parekh, Hunter Brustevich, Henry Muse, and the organization are all, you know, hopefully going to be great players, and hopefully, you know, with Zane especially, maybe as soon as next year. But none of those guys are currently in a position to come in and fill the role that Rasmus Anderson holds on this team, a guy that plays 20 minutes a night and is an all-situations guy. I think it's also important to talk about it in that way, Pat, that we've seen Rasmus, you know, take on some of the most important assignments at 5-on-5. You mentioned the penalty kill. We obviously have seen him on the power play for a very good chunk. Like, there's very few areas of the game on the ice that Rasmus Anderson doesn't touch for the Calgary Flames. And yeah, that doesn't excuse the poor season that he had, the minuses that we were talking about and that he talked about. You know, was he talking about eating minuses?
Chewing on minuses
this year. You know, he clearly doesn't. What does a minus taste like, I wonder?
Nom, nom, nom.
Probably not great.
No, probably not. Unless you're golfing, am I right? Sorry.
Good one, Wes.
No, Wes is funnier than that. Let's be honest.
That's fair. I do wonder what it tastes like. So, like, there's, I think any Flames fan could understand that you're losing something significant here, and sometimes you have to, based on timing of a contract coming up, of where an organization is. I do think sometimes the conversation can be had about short-term pain for long-term gains,
yeah.
Right? And I kind of look at that as where it is for Rasmus Anderson. It's not that he's a bad player. It's not that he's hasn't been a good Calgary Flame and part of an era that will shortly probably not be in Calgary anymore, but you have to do what's best in the long term, and sometimes that may mean, like I said, seeing some results on the ice that you just simply can't replace. Even if you use the new cap space that, say, you get, there's no one in free agency that's picking up those minutes and filling in that time. It's just not going to happen.
Text line 960-960. This reads, if they lose number four, they lose the death stare. That's irreplaceable. Very good point.
That will be something.
Colin says they'll be missing a right shot D who can play in all situations and be gritty when he's on and sometimes get in the opposition's kitchen. Also some leadership. With that being said, I'm not really interested in an 8x8 contract. That's kind of exactly how I
put it. I think a lot
of
people are like that.
Yeah, like, we all know that you'd be losing an important player, but also, does an 8x8 or something higher than that make a ton of sense? Also, probably not. This reads from Michael, the Flames might do okay without Anderson if they acquire a lefty either in his return or elsewhere this summer. He struggled last year, but there's no doubt there will be pain in losing him. I think especially in the room, even more so on the ice. This says, didn't Anderson struggle at the end of the Flames season because of injury? Yeah, he did. Was playing through a broken ankle that basically healed up just before the final two games of the regular season, which is why he was able to go play at the World Championship. This says, what about Montreal as a landing spot? They've got lots of young futures and picks. Could very well be the case. Rory says, trading Raz definitely makes the team worse without a doubt. However, if the Flames can get a nice package of futures for him, and if it puts them in a position to draft in the top 10 in 2026, I think it's definitely worthwhile to deal him. We need to keep in mind the team just finished the first year of the rebuild, and this is a 3 to 5 year plan. Resigning Raz to a long-term deal to keep the team competitive in the interim is too short-sighted, in my opinion, if the goal is to eventually win a Stanley Cup. This reads, boys, the positives regarding Anderson, great leader, tone setter, minute muncher, call a spade after a good game or a bad game when dealing with the media and fans, which is refreshing. As to what's less appealing, signing him long-term, closing in on the wrong side of 30, not a great skater, extremely inconsistent with his games, especially the last couple of years. These things would make him a poor high-dollar and long-term contract. I'd be all over extending him if it's only for 3 to 4 years. Didn't we have the same type of discussion when Noah Hanifin was traded away? He was and is a better D-man, yet defensively the Flames have done okay since.
I mean, did we have that conversation with Hanifin? I don't know that we did. I think everyone would have liked to have kept Noah Hanifin in Calgary, but he was in a position where he wanted to leave.
Yeah, it was pretty clear he was looking for...
I mean, Rasmus just waxed poetic about how much he loves Calgary at garbage bag day.
Yeah.
I don't remember Noah Hanifin ever saying those things.
No. This says, averaging 23 minutes a game is top 17 in the whole world. My brother in U9 averages 30 minutes per game. That's a fair point.
Well, your brother needs to share some ice time then.
I didn't think about that.
Some kid on your brother's D-core is getting jacked for ice time because of that.
This
reads, not nice.
I think they get worse in the immediate term, but benefit more long term. Question, do you have to trade him before the season starts so they don't have a Lindholm situation with a key guy looking for the exit all year?
Yes.
I think if you're going to trade him, I think it's better to do it before the season, but not imperative. This says from Matt and Cochran, Rasmus would be a solid second pair guy on a cup contender. Overpaying him and overplaying him hurts the Flames in the long term. Jordan says Anderson's a glue guy and a culture setter. They've caught so much heat in the past for having a bad culture, and now you just eject someone who brings good cultural values, only if you can't come to a contract agreement. And finally, from Brendan in Crossfield, I'm open to the idea and backfilling by succession as long as the return isn't similar to Hanifin. Miramanov has not worked out as expected. Text line 960-960, always open on Flames Talk. Steinberg and Logan along with you. Can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Flames Talk on a Thursday. It's Thursday, May 22nd with Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon from our Groundworks downtown studio. And as we're talking right now, it's after 4 p.m. in Calgary, which means it's after midnight where we're going next. You've heard him in conversation with a few members of the Flames throughout the week. And now we head to Stockholm, Sweden, where we are joined by Flames Talk fam member Aaron Vickers, joins us right now on Twitter at AA Vickers. And right now on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline is quarterfinal Thursday has wrapped up at the World Championship in Stockholm, Sweden, and Sweden and Herning, Denmark. Hello, Vix.
It is technically Friday, and I know you'll appreciate me saying that since it's the semantics thing to do. And I know you've been missing me, Pat. So I figured I would start there, and as opposed to, you know, saying that they're dancing in the streets of Denmark or singing in the streets of Stockholm right now with Sweden winning, and of course Denmark upsetting Canada. But more importantly, how are you doing?
Good, man. It's good. I'm glad to I'm glad that you were able to slip in a correction in there. That's what I it's Thursday here, Friday there. So that is technically correct. And you're right, man. So Sweden is off to the semifinals as they take out Czechia in quarterfinal action Thursday 5-2. But the big story from quarterfinal action is Denmark scoring two in the final 2.5 minutes to stun Canada in a massive upset 2-1, despite Canada holding a massive shots on goal edge when it's all said and done. So that means with Czechia out, with Canada out, and with Slovakia already out, there's only two members of the Calgary Flames still standing. That's Michael Backlund and Rasmus Andersson for Sweden, as they're on to the semifinals on home ice. But I guess I know you were in person for Sweden-Czechia, which we'll get to, but how shocking is that result with Denmark stunning Canada in the quarterfinals?
I mean, part of me can preface it by saying this tournament has gotten more and more competitive over the time I've spent. This is my sixth trip over here. But the fact of the matter remains, I'd be lying to you if I didn't have Canada coming right back here and me being able to tackle a few more avails with Mackenzie Weegar and Ryan Huska. It is, I guess, to paint the picture a little bit, that Canada-Denmark game ended almost exactly at the same time as Sweden-Czechia wrapped up. And so you had players coming literally off the ice into the mix zone at Avicii Arena here in Stockholm asking me what happened, and then not believing me when I say Denmark scored in the final minute to take it in regulation. And there might have been a Rasmus Andersson chirping there asking me what happened to my Canadians. I don't know how I take ownership of them other than the fact that, yeah, okay, I am Canadian. But just to sort of put the bow on it is, look, it was just as shocking to the Swedish players as it was to the media that was there. I had some staff members and volunteers giving me their condolences. Like, this was not something that was seen from a mile away. Absolutely stunning. But it does speak to, again, I don't want to say the parity of the tournament, because it's not like you play this game 100 times and it's going to be a 50-50 split. But that is the beauty of this tournament, the World Championship, is you do get these upsets. And I do think, generally speaking, it's really good for the hockey world.
Well, and I mean, it must, as stunning as it is from a Canadian standpoint, that's done in front of a capacity crowd in Herning, yeah, Denmark. That would have been one hell of an atmosphere, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'd managed to catch some round robin action there. I spent the first 5 days of the tournament in Herning, and they really get behind their home team, as you can expect. And it wasn't quite watching Czechia win gold in Prague on home ice a year ago, but they certainly bring the noise. They certainly bring the energy. And there's no doubt in my mind that that was a significant home ice advantage for Denmark. Should it have been enough to tip the scales? Probably not. But at the end of the day, Denmark will play for a medal. It'll remains to be seen which one. There's semifinal action still to be played, and they have a tough Swiss team they'll have to go up against. But I couldn't imagine what the scene would have been like in Denmark tonight as you know, 10,000-15,000 fans pile, yeah, out of that arena to celebrate what is probably what Rasmus Andersson actually called, they're going to write books about that one in Denmark.
Yeah. It's too bad that
that'll do it for Mackenzie Weegar's tournament. And
yeah.
You know, it was 2 years ago that Weegar was the world championship MVP as Canada takes home gold. 2 years later, he's a big part of Canada's blue line once again. I know you had a chance to speak with him in Stockholm, and you had an opportunity to watch some of his games as well. How would how would we evaluate Mackenzie Weegar's world championship for Team Canada and just some of your observations in being able to speak with him as well?
Well, I think it was a positive in terms of his Olympic chances and having the opportunity to speak to him. As you mentioned, that was one of the things that was in the forefront of his mind. And we all know how disappointed he was to not represent Canada at the Four Nations. We all know how close he was to representing Canada at the Four Nations. And as disappointed as he was in talking to him and talking to Ryan Huska, he didn't let that disappointment creep into his game. But coming over here to Stockholm, and then, of course, by way of Herning with the quarterfinal matchup, he really wanted to make sure that he left an impact, that he got a front row seat, if you will, or gave Canada management a front row seat into what his game was. He's certainly not one that's going to blend into the background with his game or his personality. And I think it was a net positive for him to be here.
You spoke to Ryan Huska about this. You spoke to Mackenzie Weegar about this. Now, Zane Parekh did not play any tournament games for Team Canada, but did get into the two pre-tournament games they played. And you know, it sure does feel like, anyway, that opportunity for Zane to be around Team Canada, to be around some other really, really high-profile players that were over there, and to also be there with his head coach and with a future teammate in Mackenzie Weegar, it sure does feel like that was a real valuable experience for him.
Yeah, I'm trying to gauge whether or not it would have been more valuable for him from the on-ice perspective or the off-ice perspective. And those pre-tournament games, there was no Sidney Crosby, there was no Nathan MacKinnon, but Ryan Huska highlighted Macklin Celebrini being there, Adam Fantilli being there, sort of those young players that are maybe just a year or two ahead of Zane Parekh, or I guess with Celebrini sort of the same age. But you get to see how other young high-end players that have had success early in the NHL go about their business, how they perform on the ice, how they ready themselves for games off the ice. And I think in addition to Parekh being around the Flames at the tail end of last season, or this season rather, and getting his NHL debut in, getting that extra time with Canada at the World Championship against games against Austria, who had a competitive tournament, against Hungary, who, you know, you're playing against seasoned European veterans, I think that really benefits him. And I do think that the biggest benefit might have been getting to spend a little bit extra time with Weegar. We heard Parekh talk about the influence that Mackenzie had on him near the end of the season, sitting down with a 3-hour meeting, laying the law on what's allowed and what's not allowed at team dinners in terms of dress code. All those things, I think you can just stack one over the other, and it puts Parekh in a better spot come September.
Yeah. We're chatting with Aaron Vickers. He's at the World Championship in Stockholm, Sweden. Joining us here on Flames Talk on this Thursday program, it's Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon with you, Logo.
Vix, obviously now the focus for most people here in Calgary is going to be on Sweden with Rasmus Andersson and Michael Backlund. And I'm just curious how you've gauged it for both of these guys, knowing what it's like for them to be in Stockholm and just how much this tournament means for them to be back at home. I know when you chat with Backs there, he was talking about all the tickets he's had to buy for this event.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in particular, I'll speak to Bax first because he's got the opportunity. Sweden's had a couple of off days where they're free of practice, free of media obligations. And Backlund hops a train 1 hour from Stockholm and goes home, goes and visits family, goes and visits friends. And he's catching up with a lot of people that I think he might not necessarily get the opportunity to, certainly not the opportunity to play in front of. And I think he's really relished that opportunity. And for Rasmus, again, it's another opportunity to go out there, play in high-pressure situations. And I think he's really embraced being captain of Sweden. Backlund and Rasmus Andersson have traded slight barbs back and forth, all in good fun, about Rasmus being the captain, Backlund being an assistant captain with Sweden. But you really get the sense that Andersson's embraced the role. The team is very impressed both with how he handled the Four Nations, which played a big part in him getting the captaincy. Of course, he was scratched at the Four Nations for a couple of games, entered the lineup, and to hear Sweden's coach tell it, basically gave him his all. So for him to come over, get to see in a pre-tournament game, then find out that he'd be wearing it through the World Championship, a World Championship that's on home ice, all the stuff that comes with it, the attention, the off-ice, I don't want to say necessarily distractions, but the off-ice stuff that comes along with it, as well as the additional media obligations. You get the sense both from him and those around him that he's really embraced that role.
For Rasmus in particular, I guess it's a bit of a role reversal here. You mentioned that with Bax too, is he's, you know, on a team where Michael Backlund's been a captain of Sweden before and is his captain in Calgary. What did Bax talk about when he talks to you about what Ras has done well as a leader and sort of expanding on a role that he's had here in Calgary, as we've seen him with the A plenty here, Vix?
Well, I'll start with this little anecdote, and it's a little bit tongue in cheek from Michael Backlund, but, Rasmus Anderson either didn't hold the bus for him or forgot to hold the bus for him. So left Michael Backlund behind. Like, I don't know if it was at the arena or at the hotel. So tongue in cheek, Michael Backlund's like, I'm never going to forgive him for that. I get the sense in talking to Michael Backlund that Rasmus Anderson was ready for this. And Backs talked a lot about how when Rasmus Anderson was given an A, he really stepped up into that role, really embraced it. And really thrived under it. And I think we can see that as well, just in how he carries himself back in Calgary. It's the same Rasmus Anderson as captain for Sweden as it is for assistant captain in Calgary. So that's a lot of, how could I say this? Jests and jokes at the expense of teammates pregame, trying to lighten the mood. It's him yapping at the opposition, yapping at refs, but he's got the C now, so he can get away with it maybe a little bit more than back in the NHL. But when it's time to get serious, you get serious Rasmus Anderson, is what I'm told. And Anderson as the captain, Backlund as an assistant, Mika Zibanejad as another assistant. I know Sweden's thrilled with the job that the leadership group has done to this point.
What kind of roles have they had on Sweden? Similar to what they've had in Calgary, or are they used a little bit differently with their own nation?
For Rasmus, I think it's very similar. He's used on the second power play unit. He's used a ton at 5-on-5 and on the penalty kill. So I don't think you see necessarily too much different there. For Michael Backlund, it's kind of different. It's a little more interesting, if you will. Like, Sweden's added some top-end players, and Carlson from Vegas and Nylander from Toronto. But he's playing on basically what I consider to be their top line alongside Elias Lindholm as the winger, to be honest. And he's had a fantastic tournament in terms of his two-way play. That's a given. That's going to be every game that Michael Backlund plays. But his offensive game has shown through a little bit more here too. And I know that management from Sweden, the coaching staff from Sweden, is really impressed with what Backlund's been able to do. He was one of those guys that wasn't on the Four Nations, and I don't know if that was necessarily injury related. It sounds more like there were other options that they wanted to go with, but I do firmly believe he's put himself back on the map for the Olympics from some of the conversations that I've had.
Yeah, and that's got to be a big one for Bax at this point in his career with a big tournament coming up next year. What was the atmosphere like for that matchup with Sweden and Czechia today? I imagine Stockholm buzzing with anticipation for that matchup.
Yeah, so what's great is there's a supporter section for the visiting team, too. It's typically right behind the opposition's net for the two periods, the first and the third. And Czechia brings it. They don't do – they may have been limited to – you know, 1,000 or 2,000 fans in that arena, but they certainly are boisterous. Sweden's not shy to counter. It's chanting all game long back and forth. And again, if you've never been to an international game similar to the World Championship in Europe, you don't know what you're missing. It is nonstop action, if you will, in the stands, not necessarily from a scrapping perspective, but from a, we're not going to let you be louder than us in our home rink. And on the other hand, it's we're going to drown you out in our home rink because we're not going to have other fans come in here and sway the momentum for a visiting team.
I wanted to ask you, the one of the bigger clips that's come through the tournament back home here is that Adam Klapka end-to-end goal. And look, interesting season for him here in Calgary, spending time with the Wranglers and the Flames towards the end of the season. This has got to be an opportunity for him to continue to grow and continue to do that. We know he wants to put his stamp on as a full-time NHLer next season. What have you been able to see from Adam Klapka at the tournament?
Yeah, he's had some interesting usage. He wasn't added to Czechia's roster right from the hop as they were waiting to see whether or not they could get a couple additional NHLers, whether it was Tomáš Hertl or Tom from Toronto, who did end up coming over. So he was added a bit late and then made an almost immediate impact, scoring a couple goals for Czechia. But he was used primarily in a depth role. I think tonight he was only on the ice for 2:22, which was a little bit interesting. You talk to any teammate of his, whether it was David Pastrnak or Philip Roenick or so on and so forth, and they're really impressed with how far Adam Clapp has come. And if I think we rewind the calendar 365 days, this isn't even even remotely a conversation we're having with Klapka being a member of the men's national team for Czechia. So it's a feather in his cap in terms of the development he's done to this point to put himself into a position to be on the roster, fulfill what is a childhood dream of his. At the same time, you just kind of get the sense that there's so much more development left to be done. And that's a very positive thing for himself, for the Calgary Flames, and for the Czech national program. Because, I mean, he's 6'8". And he can skate the way he skates, and the big man's got some hands for his size. Like he doesn't get caught up in with his massive wingspan. He's still able to dipsy doodle a little bit. So once he starts refining some of those skills, he's better able to put them together at the same time. He has the potential to be a very impactful player. And basically every Czech I talked to is like, look how he ended the season. I think he had 6 points in 8 games or something like that. Like, they're all well aware that he was a first liner for the last, 6, 7, 8 games of the season. So I think they're really excited about his potential as well.
We're chatting with Aaron Vickers, Flames Talk fan member. Aaron Vickers is with us from Stockholm, Sweden, where the quarterfinals are done at the World Championship. And we're on to the semifinals. The only Calgary Flames players remaining now in the tournament are Michael Backlund, Rasmus Andersson for Sweden. They beat Czechia 5-2 on Thursday in Stockholm. Dan Vladar kind of got rushed into action in that game. Karel Vemelka got the start, but ends up being Vladar who finishes that game between the pipes, playing the last two periods or so. How is Dan Vladar's tournament? And I know you had a chance to chat with him while you were over there as well. The numbers look strong, but from what you observed, take us through Dan Vladar's tournament.
Like, very calm, very steady, very big, if you will, for lack of a better term. He didn't look small. He had fantastic numbers. I don't know what he finished at, but whenever you'd surf over to the stats page on the IIHF site, he was always top three in goals against and save percentage. It was in limited action. I think he got in 2 or 3 games prior to playing opposite Sweden in a relief role. To be perfectly honest, and I don't know how much of a question it was for the team itself, I asked a couple of media members, who's going to start against Sweden? And there was a shoulder shrug, like, well, they're not telling us. And I don't know if that was a little bit of gamesmanship or they hadn't decided yet. But from what I saw from Vemelka and what I saw from Vladar, to be honest, guys, I was a little surprised that Vladar wasn't given more of an opportunity. And of course, it's easy to say this now after Vemelka gives up 3 in the first period and what turns out to be a tournament-ending loss. But he might have fared a little bit better if he went with Vladar. Again, he was steady, he was calm, he was positionally sound. He was sort of everything we saw out of him. Again, not to reference the last portion of the season like we did with Adam Klapka, but what I saw from Dan Vladar at the World Championship was exactly what we saw basically from the Four Nations on, with just steady, calm presence and giving his team a chance to win. Now, when you enter a game down 3-0, it's hard to give your team a chance to win, but he did his best to hold them in.
Last guy to ask you about is Sam Honzek. On Wednesday's show, we played your conversation with Sam. He gets into 6 games with Slovakia as their team does not advance to the medal round, but they also avoid relegation by finishing 6th in Group A. Goal and an assist in 6 games for Sam Honzek. He's the last member of the Flames representing his country over at the World Championship, and the first time he's ever represented Slovakia at the men's national level, the senior men's team. What did we see from Sam Honzek in some of the high leverage spots he was put into?
I think it was an eye-opening experience for him. Talking to Vladimir Orzog, the Slovak coach, who of course had an NHL career, so he knows what the NHL is all about. There's a lot of pressure externally, not internally from the team, but externally from media, externally from fans, on Honzik, on Dalibor Dvorsky, the St. Louis Blues prospect, who was a first-round pick. And I think the third of that trio on that kid line they were using was Kashkovich. So a lot was expected out of them on an NHL or on a Slovak roster that was very devoid of any NHL talent. And I think we saw some mixed results. Again, a fantastic learning experience for Honzik, but I don't necessarily think the expectation was he was going to come in and drive the bus for this group. And in talking to Orzog and talking to Ryan Huska too, this is the highest level of hockey Sam Honzik has ever played. and hearing conversations again with the two coaches, that does nothing but benefit Hanzik for his development, because when you're playing against Sweden and you're lining up opposite a Zibanejad or a Lucas Raymond or even a Michael Backlund, and you can run through the list because Sweden's roster is stacked, obviously, being at home, or you're playing against Canada and you're taking a draw from, you know, Sidney Crosby, you're going up against Nathan MacKinnon, you're going up against Calder finalist Macklin Celebrini, it really sets a tone for young players, not just Hanzik, but the young players on the Slovak team, where it's like, okay, this is where you are. That's where the greats are. You get a real education, a real firsthand account of how much bridge you need to gap and where you can work on things and you know, potentially where you can get to just by osmosis and being in this environment.
So set us up for the semifinal round. It is Sweden who will advance to the semifinal on home ice, and they'll take on Team USA. And then Denmark won't be able to play their semifinal game on home ice. They'll also be in Stockholm when they take on Switzerland. So those are the two semifinal matchups. What jumps off the page? Like, what interests you when you take a look at a couple of those matchups?
Switzerland is like the sleepiest contender in the sense that they're always in and around this tournament, and they have been for the last decade or so. And a lot of it is a result of the buy-in from their NHLers. Fischer goes after the playoffs, and Meyer goes after the playoffs, and Niederreiter joined after Winnipeg was eliminated. Kevin Fiala joins after the Kings were eliminated. They have a pact amongst them, the Swiss NHLers, where it's, if you're not hurt, you're going. And it's a culture that they've built, and it's really worked for them over the course of the last couple of years. And Giannone, their goaltender, yeah, he's never really gotten a sniff of the NHL, but you get him in this tournament and suddenly he turns into Superman. So they're a really strong team. I don't even want to call them sneaky good. They're just good. And they've been really competitive in this tournament for quite some time. So Denmark, as Cinderella-ish as their game against Canada was, like, I don't want to sit here and say it's going to strike midnight on them, because I'm not in a position to write them off after beating Canada. But I do think we see Swiss in the final. The Swedes and the Americans is going to be a very interesting game. I've seen some, from my perspective anyways, inconsistencies with the American team. One period they look dominant. The next they look like they're in a little bit of trouble or treading water. And Sweden is, again, they're a powerhouse. They've just added a couple of big names, Nylander being the focal point. And they've got depth up and down the lineup. Their blue line's fantastic as well. Markstrom in net has looked really strong. He's held the fort when he's needed to. It's going to be an interesting semifinal, more from a Sweden-USA standpoint than it will be Switzerland-Denmark. I mean, can they shock the world again? Possibly. We'll see. I know Switzerland's probably not going to take them lightly after what they just saw again earlier today. But I do think if we're putting the predictions out, I think we see a Sweden-Switzerland gold medal match.
Well, and tell me, couple of the storylines. So you've got Switzerland, who has never won a gold medal at the World Championship.
Right.
That is on the table. Denmark's never medaled at the World Championship. That's on the table. And Sweden with an opportunity to win gold on home ice. So a second straight year where the home country ends up winning. And all three of those things on the table, and maybe multiple of those things on the table. It's actually pretty, of course, that means the Americans will win and none of it will happen.
I was going to say, let's not sleep on the Americans storyline. They haven't won in this tournament in I think nearing 100 years. Might be triple digits. They haven't won gold at this tournament in I don't even know how to make a metaphor out of it for how long it's been since they've finished first at this event. So let's not sleep on the American storyline either. It's something that a few players have mentioned to me, and it's something that in talking to general manager Bill Guerin, who doubles as the Wild general manager earlier today, like, they want an emphasis on this tournament. One, for program building, but two, because it's been just so long since they've, you know, come away with gold.
Man, hopefully Bill Guerin didn't bring his medical staff with him.
Ooh.
A little empty netter there from Logan Gordon. By the way, 1960, the last time the United States won a gold medal at the World Championship.
Okay, so not quite triple digits, but not far off.
And at that time, Canada didn't even have a flag. We had the weird, like, Union Jack red flag. So that's how long it's been since the Americans. So you know what? We're fine with them. That continues. 1960, that's a great year. You guys can continue to have that. But enjoy yours. What's the, like, what's, you said this is number six. You've been to a bunch of these over in Europe. You've had some really cool spots that you've covered world championships in before. What's this one been like?
From a work standpoint, this has been the most seamless. Like, I have never been more relaxed at a world championship than this one. I don't know why or how it's unfolded. Credit to the PR staffs, in particular to Canada, Sweden, and Team USA, because that's been my primary objective. But just the way things have shook out, and I mean, there's no, I shouldn't say there's no beating Stockholm, because the first tournament I went to was Paris and Cologne. So from a destination standpoint, I do feel like that's number one. But we've talked a lot, Patty, about you going to Copenhagen this summer. I might need to switch up your itinerary and send you to Stockholm instead.
I'm going to neither. So the itinerary is set, and neither end up being there when it's all said and done.
I leave for 2 weeks, and you change all the advice I've given you, which was very minimal to start with.
You gave me next to none, so I had to do I said
go to Copenhagen. That was the input. That was the feedback I gave you.
He's actually just hanging out with Wes for 2 weeks. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, we're just going to...
Well, you know what, Logo? I'm actually glad that I came on today, because it is a Logan Gordon appearance and not a Wes Gilbertson.
Ah, thanks.
So that's actually the reason I agreed to do this in the first place.
That's the nicest thing you ever said to me.
And
I'm glad you're here instead of Wes.
He's only saying that because you're not Wes. Don't let
I know. That's what I mean. It's not a big combo. I'll take it.
Bye, Vix. Go get some sleep, buddy. Enjoy the semifinals on Saturday.
Have fun, Vix.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Aaron Vickers at the World Championship in Stockholm and Denmark, joining us live from Stockholm on this Thursday afternoon here into Friday morning with Vix joining us there. Thanks for joining us, Vix. Appreciate it. And Rasmus Anderson, Captain Rasmus Anderson, and Michael Backlund, the last two Calgary Flames standing, they have an opportunity still to play for gold. Sweden on home ice with an opportunity to win the gold medal, but they got to beat the Americans on Saturday in the semifinal first. Vix joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline this hour, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.